We're going to go to the book of Matthew chapter 1, first of all, then 1 Timothy chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 23. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then 1 Timothy chapter 1. First Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 through 17. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. The grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And we say amen to the reading of God's word. Here of late, I have spoken of what I would call the flooding of the market with Jesus. I've spoken of it as, I believe, a sign of the last days, a sign of the coming of our Lord, beginning of his judgment upon this world and the tribulation period. And since I have spoken those words and those thoughts, this flooding of the market with Jesus has only increased. There's movies being made and being viewed. There are television shows. There are great ad campaigns. One advertising campaign is said to planning to spend over $100 million portraying Jesus Christ in a certain manner. And everywhere you look, you see mentions of Jesus Christ. Everywhere you look, you see religion at the forefront. Seems like everywhere we look, we're seeing the opposite of what the Bible teaches us about Jesus Christ being portrayed and being put forth. Like the old saying, there, water, water everywhere and not a drop to drink. Jesus, Jesus everywhere and not a whole lot of truth. Not a whole lot of truth. I had prepared a long list, a whole page up here, of examples of things that are being said about Christ, in ways that Christ is being portrayed, in ways that Christ is being acted out, in ways that Christ is being advertised, in ways that Jesus Christ is being promoted. But I'm not going to take the time to look at all those, to read through those. I hope you're familiar with some of the things I'm talking about. And in light of this use of Jesus, his name, and the things that are being said about Jesus Christ, the Lord laid two messages upon my heart in connection with each other. Today's message, we want to preach on that simple message, Jesus saves. Jesus saves. And then next week, Lord willing, if he doesn't change our direction, we'll look at the message where Christ asked the question, will you also go away? I believe this flooding of the market and the flooding of the world and the flooding of society with Jesus and thoughts of Jesus and false teachings about Jesus Christ is intentionally an effort to undermine, an effort to get the message off of the real truth of Christ, to get us buying what is palatable, what is socially acceptable in the day and time in which we live. People don't want to hear the truth about Jesus Christ. They want to hear what's going around. They want to hear the latest version of Jesus Christ. And I believe the devil is using that intentionally to keep people from hearing about Jesus Christ, their need of being saved, and the need of repenting and receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior by accepting an imitation, by accepting a more palatable version of Jesus Christ. And you find as you search scriptures that Jesus came, he came to save people from their sins. That's why he came. Not why he came according to what is going around in the day and time in which we live. And he came to save people from their sins, and they rejected him. They turned from him. Nearer he got to the end of his ministry, the more people left him, the more people fled. They didn't want to hear what Jesus Christ had to say. He got down to where looks like just the 12 apostles. There in John chapter 6, where it looks like everybody else has gone away, Jesus turned to the 12 apostles and said, will you also go away? Will you also go away? You don't like my message. The world doesn't like my message. They're rejecting me. Will you also reject me? Jesus is everywhere. But do you really know what the real message of Jesus Christ is? Would God give you understanding this morning to understand, to receive what the real message of Jesus Christ is? There in Matthew chapter 1, in our reading, verse 21 in particular, you find the name of Jesus, and he came to save, or he would save. Jesus and the word save in close proximity to each other. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, our reading from verse 12 through 17, in verse number 15, it speaks about Christ Jesus coming into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You find Jesus and the word saved used together, used in close proximity to each other. That's because Jesus Christ came to save. That's because the message is still the same today as it was a couple thousand years ago. Jesus saves. You find in the message, you find in that thought of Jesus saves, the gospel, the complete gospel. You find the reason why Jesus Christ came. He came to save sinners. Jesus saves. You've heard that for years and years and years. Many years ago, it was quite a common phrase. Many years ago, there were bumper stickers and what have you, declaring those two words, Jesus saves. But this thought of Jesus saves is the main principle, the main point of our preaching. Jesus saves is the main message that Faith Baptist Church has been given from God. With all the things we preach and all the things we teach and all the things that are certainly biblical, first and foremost of all things, our message is Jesus saves. And we must be faithful in the day and time in which we're living. Yes, the last days when the message is being blurred and Jesus is being portrayed in many different ways. We must remain faithful in proclaiming the message Jesus saves. In that message you find the whole complete gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus saves. You can think about this thought of Jesus saves. Raises the question, well, who is Jesus? Jesus saves, well, who is Jesus? He's not the most common version. He's not the world's version. Who is Jesus Christ? Who is this Jesus that saves? You've heard it and you've heard it and you've heard it. Jesus saves. Well, who is this Jesus we're talking about? The Gospel of John chapter 1. Seems like we've been here a lot lately, particularly on Sunday evenings in our studies. The articles of faith and what we believe as a church. But in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. That's speaking of Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh. That's who Jesus was. 1 John chapter 4. First John chapter 4. Verse 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Back to Matthew chapter 1, our text this morning. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Speaking concerning Christ, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. He's already been identified as Jesus. He'd be called Jesus, according to verse 21, for he would save his people from their sins. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Can you consider openly and honestly? Can you consider without any blurring? Can you consider just who Jesus is we're talking about? Can you consider Jesus in light of Scripture and push out of your mind all that the world is saying and all that the world has said about Jesus in these days and times? Can you just get away from all that and realize that when we speak about Jesus saves, Jesus was God in the flesh. Jesus was God come in the flesh. Jesus was God. I've listened to quotes, and I had some of those references in my notes today. One man I was able to come across who said, Jesus never claimed to be God. Jesus wasn't God. He never claimed to be God. But that can be refuted just by reading what the Bible plainly teaches. When we talk about Jesus saves, Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. Could you give a little bit of attention to the fact that God is the only one who can save his people? In order to save his people, God became flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. Can you realize that the gospel message is about Jesus, God in the flesh, coming to save his people? Can you consider how desperately you might need this Jesus who was God in the flesh? Can you imagine just for a minute just how desperately you need a Savior and that only God can save the sinner? And he does that by coming and becoming flesh? Jesus saves. That's who Jesus is. Well, in that message, Jesus saves. The next question we find is, well, who needs to be saved? Jesus saves. Well, who's Jesus? He was God in the flesh. Jesus saves. God saves. He saves his people. He came to save his people. Who needs to be saved? Can you think just for a minute? Can you put away prejudices and self-exaltation and self-righteousness and high thinking about yourself? Can you put all that aside and grasp that when we ask the question, who needs to be saved? The answer is, you need to be saved. God, in the person of Jesus Christ, came in the flesh to save his people, and the ones who need to be saved is everyone. You're without exception. You need to be saved. We know Romans chapter 3 says there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that seeketh after God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody's a sinner and everybody needs a Savior. Can you grasp? Can God open your heart? Can God open your eyes to realize that Jesus was God in the flesh, come down to save his people, and the people that need to be saved are sitting in this room here this morning? Can you grasp for a little bit? Just reach out a little bit in your heart and your mind and ask your question, does that mean me? Because the answer is yes, it does mean you. It means every one of us. It means every single one of us. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. We don't get to go to Ecclesiastes very often. But Ecclesiastes chapter 7, similar to what we just quickly quoted from Romans chapter 3. Verse number 20. For there is not a just man upon earth. None at all? Well, what's it say? There is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Sounds a lot like Romans, doesn't it? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. To sin, all have sinned. To sin is to come short of God's holy character. And is there anybody who would say they meet or they can match God's holy character? That just as they are, just as they came into this world, that they're like God? Nobody in their right mind would say that. All have sinned. All come short of God's holy character. Therefore, all need to be saved. There isn't an exception in the room this morning. There isn't an exception in the room at this hour. God came into the world in the person of Jesus Christ to save people. And those who need to be saved is everyone. Everyone. See, they didn't like this when Jesus came the first time. Man doesn't like it today. That's why they rejected Christ, and that's why they come up with their own versions of Christ, and that's why a couple thousand years or so more lately, they're still rejecting the message of Christ. They're coming up with new versions and new messages. But the message of Jesus is he came to save his people. He came to save those that are lost, and everybody is lost. He didn't come to inflate. He didn't come to build up. He didn't come to make people feel good about themselves. He didn't come to say, I love you just the way you are. He came to save sinners. It was God in the flesh, in the person of Jesus Christ, who came. And he came to save the lost, and everybody's lost before they know Jesus Christ as their Savior. David says in Psalms 51, he was conceived in sin. Jeremiah speaks of, I think it's Jeremiah that speaks of, before the Lord brought him forth, the Lord knew him, the Lord had chosen him. So Jeremiah, if that's who I'm thinking about, had to be saved once he came, because God had chosen him. But he didn't come forth sinless. He didn't come forth without the need of being saved. Now the next question, this thought of Jesus saves, how does he save? Okay, God in the person of Jesus Christ, that's who Jesus was. He came to save his people. Who needs to be saved? Everyone. Who's a sinner? Everyone. Everybody needs to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. How does Jesus save? How does God save sinners? I like this quote, and I probably shared it with you before. Won't hurt you a bit to hear it again. This is how a person is saved. This is how a person pays for their sins. Either a finite person suffers for their sins for an infinite or endless period of time, or an infinite person suffers for your sins once. That infinite person is Jesus Christ. It's God in the flesh. And you as a finite person can suffer throughout all eternity and pay for your own sins and never ever pay the debt. Or God, or Jesus Christ as an infinite person, can pay for your sins once and for all. And that's why Jesus Christ died. He saves by doing for us what we could never do for ourselves. He saves by dying in our place. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 21. For he, God, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us. Jesus is the who that didn't know sin. God made him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. God made Jesus sin for us in our place. He made Jesus sin for us that we might know the righteousness of God, be righteous before God. 1 John 2, verse 2. 1 John 2, verse 2. Speaking about Jesus by the last part of verse number 1. 1 John 2, verse 2 says, and he, Jesus, is the propitiation, the satisfying, the appeasement for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. He is the propitiation for our sins. So Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Who was Jesus? Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. God who took on the form of a man. Jesus was the one that came to die for sinners that they might live. Who needs to be saved? Everyone needs to be saved. There's not only not an exception in this room, but there's not an exception anywhere around this globe. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God means just that. All human beings are born sinners. I think in a couple of weeks we're going to be considering what we believe about the fall of man on Sunday evening. And what we believe is that Adam and Eve were made sinless. They were made perfect. They were made in God's image. But by their sin and their rebellion, they fell. They fell into sin. And because they were the first man and woman, and all people come from them, came from them, all are sinners. Every human being upon the face of this earth today can be traced back to the same parents. And every human being on the face of this earth can be found to have the same nature, a fallen nature, are found sinners before God. So who is Jesus? Can you think about it today, honestly and openly? Who needs to be saved? Can you do a real evaluation and come to the truth of the answer to that question? How does he save? Not by your works, not by your goodness, not by religion, not by this, not by that, not by your doing this, not by your doing that. But salvation's by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He saves people by doing for them what they could not do for themselves. He died in the place of his people, that his people might be saved and might live. But whom does he save? We've considered how he saves. But for whom did Christ die? Put it simple, and in a passage of scripture we can all probably quote by heart. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave, he sent. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, God so loved, God gave. You can read it according to Scripture. God so loved that God came in the person of Jesus Christ. He came and He gave Himself. He came and He died upon the cross in the place of sinners, that sinful people could be made righteous. He came so that whosoever believes, and I'm not a bit ashamed of that term. I don't shy away from telling you like it is. The Bible says, God so loved, He gave His Son. Jesus came and Jesus cried. He died. He took the place of sinners. And He saves those who will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, if everybody here is a sinner, if everybody here needs to be saved, if everybody on the face of this earth is a sinner in need of a Savior, then whosoever still means what whosoever has always meant, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Everyone here this morning who can truly repent and believe that Jesus Christ died for them, He'll save, without exception. Just as the need is universal, the invitation, I believe, is universal. You can go anywhere in the world, travel anywhere you want to, and you're going to find sinners who need a Savior. And you can say to them, whosoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. The Philippian jailer asked Paul and Silas there in Acts chapter 16, what must I do to be saved? Jesus was God in the flesh. He came to save sinners. Everybody needs to be saved. How does He save? By taking their place, by dying for them, by suffering for them. Whom will He save? Those that believe. What must I do to be saved? Ask yourself the question this morning. What must you do to be saved? The answer is still the same as the Philippian jailer heard. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That passage of Scripture in John where it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The 14th verse, I think it was, we referred to, and the Word became flesh. Don't miss there in John chapter 1, verse number 12. To those that received Him, speaking about Jesus, God come in the flesh. To those that received Him, to them gave He the power. Power for what? To them gave He the power to become the sons of God. Jesus saves. That's first and foremost the message of Faith Baptist Church. Jesus saves. That's first and foremost the message of everybody who is here, who is saved, to any lost person you encounter. The message is always first and foremost, Jesus saves. Well, who is Jesus? He was God come in the flesh. He came to save sinners. All people are sinners and all people need a Savior. How does He save? By dying for them, by taking their place. He'll save those who believe He died for them and took their place. Can you put away your prejudices? Can you put away your preconceived ideas? Can you put away your self-righteousness? Can you put away all of this false things and doctrine that's being spoken about Jesus in these days and times and just consider that statement Jesus says? Who was Jesus? God come in the flesh to save His people. Who needs to be saved? Everybody. That includes you. It included me. It included everybody here who is saved. How does He save? By believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you put all these things aside and consider your condition right now as you sit here before a thrice holy God? Can you see yourself a sinner? And just boil it down as simply as you can. Can you consider the fact that Jesus saves? Can you see yourself as a sinner this morning and believe that Jesus Christ died to save you? The assurance of Scripture is, if you can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, see yourself a sinner and believe Jesus Christ died for your sins, you can be saved right now, right here. Nothing prevents the worst of all sinners. Let's stand together. Close with a verse of invitation. God speaks to anybody about anything they need to bring before this assembly. You come.